We have some devastating news to report this morning. Our dear friend and the co-host of this show, Robert Palmer, passed away last Thursday, September 4th. He was an extraordinary individual on so many levels, a great friend, a great contributor to the community, and we adored him here at Radio Caravan. Our prayers go out to his friends and to his family, to his son Max, and to his daughter Paige and his wife Nancy, both of whom are in the studio with us this morning. Months ago, we had booked our guest this morning, James von Prague, a spiritual advisor who also happens to have the ability to communicate with the deceased. Is that fair of me to say, James?
A spiritual medium.
Spiritual medium.
Yep. Wow, that's pretty weird, and that shows how spirit's so involved in how things work out. Because if I was supposed to be here before this even happened, there's obviously someone looking around in the spiritual realms. We need to look about that. There are no accidents. There really aren't.
We discussed that, and we discussed really even continuing with this show, and we all sort of thought that we should because it was booked a month or two ago.
It's a healing.
James von Prague has appeared on Oprah, Dr. Phil, Larry King Live, The Today Show, 48 Hours. He's the author of a dozen or more books, including Talking to Heaven, Healing Grief, Heaven and Earth, Ghosts Among Us, and How to Heal a Grieving Heart, and his newly released book, Adventures of the Soul.
2 days old.
2 days old.
Yeah.
I guess my first question is, under the circumstances that we're here today, what happens to the soul when it dies?
Well, Scott, first of all, I want to thank you for welcoming me on the show. And I didn't know I was going to walk into this situation. So I'm just going to say to you that the spirit's always thrilled they're out of the body, okay? We are, first and foremost, souls having human experience. And it's hard to look at things from a human perception because... that's what we look at. We're more than this body. We're so much more. And this is the schoolroom, and we come back here to learn lessons. Our soul comes back here to learn many different types of lessons, whether it's about compassion or forgiveness or understanding or love of self, love of each other. And we tend to come back in group souls, like our family members that we know, that we've met. People say, I know you. I recognize something about you deep within me. Those are soul families, the soul groups. I think we've shared many, many lifetimes. So... it's very interesting, as I said to you, that this situation happened because I didn't know this. And it's like I know that in the spiritual realms, before someone passes over, whether it's an accident, whether it's a sudden death, whether it's a suicide, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's a plane crash, there's a calling that goes off in those spiritual realms to other beings, in the family members on the other side, and they all come to greet them, and no one ever passes alone. So your associate who passed over, I'll tell you right now, what I feel is very sudden with him. I do feel sudden, obviously. I do feel with him, he was shocked at the beginning, and I feel like there was no way it could have been stopped. In a way, I feel it's like kind of his soul was ready to move on in a way. And it's hard to say that because we measure things on the human level where 70, 80, 90 years, we feel that's a successful life. But on a soul level, their soul all they need is experiences. So some soul might come in just for the birth experience, some 10 years, some 30 years, some 70 years. That's what it's about. And what is his name? I'm sorry. His name is
Robert.
Robert. So Robert, the feeling I get with Robert, who's standing right behind you, and he's right next to his daughter and his wife, he's talking about how he's honored to be here. He tells me this is a big memorial service. He had a big memorial service, and it might have been, I don't know, there are two memorial services. Don't tell me. But it gives me a sense there was one big one, but then there's another one, and I know I want to go to the beach, or I want to look at the water, and I just want to do that. I also want to go to Hawaii, by the way. So I don't know why he's talking about Hawaii, but he tells me about Hawaii. So he said, you'd understand about the Hawaii, and he's giving me a kiss about the Hawaii. I know certain things were either delayed in a trip about going somewhere too before he passes over. I know something happens very quickly when he passes over. I feel like there might have been, I think if he might have stayed in the hospital, he's given me for a very short while. I feel as if my throat or something's affected here. I feel like I can't speak before I pass over. And I feel this man, let me just get his personality, and I'm just jumping right into it, if that's okay.
No, please, yeah.
I just feel very adventurous with this man. I feel very independent with this man. It's like he makes up his mind and he go, go, go. This very independent soul. He wants to travel. He loves traveling. He loves learning. He loves doing different types of things. He's talking about his father, and he's giving praise to his father. I got to tell you that. And he's really, I gotta say, he's loved being in the newspaper, by the way. And it was a big joke about him in the newspaper. Something about in the newspaper, he's laughing, and his wife said, "Oh, he would have loved this, or he loves this, right?" Remember that? So I gotta tell you, he's okay. So think of him as he's alive. He's not dead. Very alive. And sometimes I know this after 30 years, many, many experiences where souls pass over, sometimes they have to help their loved ones from the other side of life. So sometimes they call them guardian angels, guides, and teachers. And in him, he's too big to contain in this world. And you know that. He's way too big. I got to tell you that I know we're in a radio station and he was here with you. But I don't know. And I asked you before, was there a different address? I don't know if there was a place you were going to get with him or they were looking at a different place. And then they finally got this place. So there's something about the change of studios. But yeah. He tells me that. And I feel he really always wanted to do something like this as well. Mm-hmm. I feel there's a sacredness about him too. I'm not going to say religious per se, but I'm going to say spiritual. Can I just say that? Spiritual. So I wouldn't say religious, I'd say spiritual. And I know that you talked about wearing some special things for your dad, and he was saying thank you about that. And I know you have some books. I don't know whether he liked philosophy and all that sort of thing, but he's a very spiritual person. There are some books you have. After you moved, I'm talking to his wife right now. After he passed away, you must have moved to his side of the bed. Do you understand that? Because that's what he said. Yeah, that's what he said you did. And he's with you every night, and he sleeps with you still. So when you feel him kiss your cheek, you know he's there, okay? And you wore his watch, or you did something having his watch. You understand that? Oh, you're wearing his watch. Okay. Okay, so he's telling me about that. I'm getting goosebumps.
I am too.
I'm getting goosebumps, and I've done this for 30 years. So, because he's here from so much love and all of you, but he doesn't want you to be upset about his passing. He never would want to waste an emotion to be upset. That's just who he is. Did he ever want a boat or want to go out in a boat or have a little fun with a boat? Do you ever remember him wanting to have fun with a boat or going on a boat? No?
He went on a lot of cruises.
Oh, he went on cruises. Because he's laughing about the boat or going on the sea or something about the boat. You're supposed to go, and they didn't go because he got sick or something, or something happened, or he just... Okay. But he's laughing about the boat thing. Can please go on the boat for him. I also think there must have been...
He did go on a boat in China. He had fun in China.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if that's it, but I just also want to go with... I know you had one memorial service, probably a big one for him, because he said... But I know he's talking to me about another service, either I'm at the beach, or I want to do something on the water, or I do something like... Does it make sense? Did it not happen yet, or is it... It didn't. But you're thinking about it. Thank you. That's what he just said.
Nice. Yeah. Very
okay.
Nice.
James, let me ask you, what's going on here? I mean,
How are you? I don't know. I'm trying to get a cup of coffee in, but so early in the morning.
You got a lot of energy, a lot of personality, yeah. And, there's a lot of grief in this room, and yet you have the ability to sort of, bring something into the room that really makes us feel maybe a little bit more comfortable with his passing.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Are you seeing something? Are you hearing something? Are you smelling something? Are you feeling something?
It's an interesting communication. How mediumship works and how I particularly work, because there are many different types of mediums and everyone is individual. So what I do is I feel first. So it's called clairsentience. So I actually sense and feel the personality of the individual. They come on the current of love. If there's love in the room, they use that love to come down here. They're all around us. They share the space with us. It's not like they're in heaven, which is the clouds above us. They're next to us. They're in a different dimension, which is right next to us. And they come into our mind with our thoughts. They impress us with our thoughts. In the car, you were like talking to him all the time, he said. You were talking to him. And he said he was there doing that. And I'm hearing his thoughts in my head. So he'll project a thought. He'll project an image. He'll project an emotion to me. It's not the same way we communicate, like, hi, how are you this morning? It's like, hi, you, this morning. And he's just, it's a concept. He does everything at once. So the love that you guys have for him, he feels that love, and that's what brings him through. And I'm just the voice box. I mean, I wish I could hear it like, hi, how are you? The other day, I can't see such a fast vibration that the spirits are on. That dimension is so quick that I get bits and pieces. And I've done this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So it took a long time to develop. And I just get out of the way. The more I can get out of the way, the more I can bring them in. And the more love there is, the easier it is for them to come through. And he's a great spirit in that. His personality, I love his personality. Mm-hmm. I feel this. I never met this man, but I feel he's adventuresome. I feel he's freedom-minded, independent. He likes to do a lot of things before he passes over, which he did in his life. He feels like he started business stuff, and they closed and started other things, closed. I don't know what I want to study when I'm a younger person, but I go in different types of things. You understand that? And I just like travel. I don't know if he went to India, but I think he would have loved to have gone to India. Did he go to India? You're talking about him wanting to go there because he says, I want to go to India. And that was a big deal for him to go there. I don't know if you had him cremated. Have you had him cremated? And because I love that. I love that he wanted to be cremated. He definitely did. And He's not vain about his. He's a quirky sense of humor. He's goofing with all of you. He goofs with you guys. He's a goofy guy, and he's funny. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. He has foot and mouth disease. He'll say something. Whoops! I shouldn't have said that. I mean, that describes it perfectly. You know, whoops! I shouldn't have said that. And that's what I get.
Does he follow? Will he follow Paige and Nancy and of Max course. Around throughout their lives? And will he always be there with them?
Of course. Of course.
And
of
will
course.
He be watching in on them and looking out for them? And
all the time. You know, the people think that, again, we put a human concept on that dimension. So we think, oh, if they can only be one place, they can't be another place. Not very true. In the spiritual dimension, you can be several places at once. It's almost, I think, like the soul, part of the soul is like the sun. If we think of the sun and you have different rays coming out, those rays can touch different areas, different places, but yet it's still one sun.
I like that.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And it still seems that that's what my concept of the soul is. And I don't know, I'm using my human comprehension. So once I pass over, I'll see what it's truly like. But the closest thing they've told me was like the sun. So think of it that he's around you, guiding you. And I think he had to go. You know, he's someone that doesn't like to be, he's impatient sometimes, you know. He really is impatient. So he doesn't want to stay in one place at one time, you know. I know that either we're going to move this radio station or it was another place or it was talk about moving things around or opening up another or something because he's got to move all the time. Go, 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 go. Was he in a hospital? Was there two places of a hospital he was in, like one place he was in, then another hospital, or there was a specialized place, or he's telling me two different hospitals, and he hated them, you know, he just hated them, as he says, I hated them. And I know that he must have tried different diets at one point, like he wanted to try these different diets, vegan, or something about, you know what I mean, this sort of thing, and he's laughing about that, he's goofing about that, and I don't know if there's a dog that you guys have as well, that he misses the dog, he's talking about the dog, so there must be a dog, wait. Dog here and a dog in spirit?
No,
no Joe, just a dog here.
Well, he's got a ton of dogs. There's a lot.
Okay, there's a lot of dogs. Okay, he misses the dogs. But there's one in particular that comes up on his lap and he's petting.
Is knowing this part of the grieving, healing process, do you think?
Yes, I think that once someone realizes that there is no such thing as death, that it's easier for them to accept the transition and change. And if we look at it, we change every day. We have cells that die off every day. So there's an aspect of us that there is no death. It's just a transition, an illusion, if you will. We live in the illusionary world. This three-dimensional world is the illusionary world. It really is. And if we realize that our loved ones are still with us, they haven't gone anywhere, they're still with us, but in a higher form. So mentally we can receive them. You can hear them speak to you just through your thoughts. Now look at your whole aura has changed. You're much happier than you were. You see it's true. Can you see the difference,
see
right?
That, yeah.
And that's because you feel him, you know him, and he's whispering to you. He's a good communicator, so I love that. You'll always hear him. So that's really what it is. When you realize that there's no death, you begin to, if you want to say, heal grief or put grief in its proper way and that you can really deal with it. It's a process. We're human beings. We've lost the physicality of the individual, so every single person will go through grief. You bet they will. But the process can be, in a way, sometimes, not say sped up, but understood better. And it doesn't grip you as much once you realize that they are still with you.
Go ahead, Joe.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. So I've followed you for very long, and Robert was
I'm old. I've been around a long time.
But, you know, Robert was very dear, and we adored him, and he was an inspiration. And I know, and I read in your book, and I've learned this through other studies, that there is no death. We are energy, and we are at a molecular atom level and then subatomic particles.
Exactly.
So we transform.
Energy. Yep.
Energy.
Yep.
And that is the death process.
That's
that
right.
We are all still existing, but at different vibrational patterns. Is that correct?
Correct, and then some. So right now, as you stand here speaking to me, as we all stand here, we're a physical three-dimensional vibration. But we're more than that. Actually, our higher self, our oversoul self, our light body, our emotional body, our mental body, it way above us on a higher vibration. We don't see them. Okay, now I'm going to just share something with all of you, which I think you'll love this. So we're in a radio station right now. Where are the radio waves that are going out? I don't see them physically, but we know they exist because people receive them at home. Oh, there's validation. And so people receive them because they're tuned into, they have these radio stations or computers that are tuned into that frequency. So they receive them. Same thing. So there are television waves, radio waves, gamma rays, so forth, all around us, but we don't see them because we're limited to the human spectrum. But it goes beyond the human spectrum, and we exist on many, many other levels as well, but we're only aware of the densest part of ourselves, which is the human. But as a spirit communicates and transmits thoughts, it's very real because it's mind to mind. The soul is the mind is part of the soul. The brain is part of the physical body, which dies at death. But the mind is part of the soul, which contains all the memories, all the experiences you ever had. And that's very, very alive. So when they come back, they'll come back in memories many times. And that memory, along with that loving energy, never dies.
So can we, can Paige and can Nancy and can his son Max communicate with him throughout
totally.
The years? And
totally.
How would they go about doing that?
Totally. So what they want to do is they want to get to a space. I call it a sacred space. A space where, and you don't have to, but I kind of like to do that because it puts it aside in a special space. They know they're going to communicate him right now, this particular place. But if they quiet the mind, if they go into the stillness of the mind, they will hear him speak to them. And they get rid of their own chatter. Their own ego gets out of the way. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm not hearing this. When they set that aside and they just listen, they'll hear the nuances of his thoughts. And whether you're driving the car and you think of him, he's probably sitting right next to you projecting a thought into your mind. The shower, he's been talking to you. You know, you've heard about him in the shower. Water is a really good conductor of energy. So water is a great way. Meditation, the number one way. Quieting the mind and listening, that's the number one way. When we get out of our own stuff and we give them some space to communicate, that's how it works. Nice.
And then we're going to take a short break after okay. this next question. And then how can we all sort of begin the healing of our grieving hearts? Is there a first step we can take, a second step we can take?
Yes, read my book, and that'll be the first step. Yeah. I'm just joking. That's sorry. That's really bad humor. But
that was good.
Number one, if you have that, and we're already starting it. So number one, realizing that we are spirits or souls mm-hmm. having this human experience, and our loved ones are not gone. They're with us, just in a different form. That's the first step that we're opening up to the realization of that. So that'll help with the grieving. As you can see, it helps that grieving. Mm-hmm. So there are different things you can do. You can honor them in different ways. I got to tell you something. It's so disrespectful. And listen, this is raw. This is brand new for all of you. But spirits, for instance, have been over for a while. And they'll come back, whether a child comes back to a parent or a partner passes over, whatever it might be. Many times in the spirit world, when they come back to me, they say, you know, I'm not dead. Please don't disrespect me. I died once. Don't make me die every day with your thoughts.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they hear our thoughts really clearly.
I think they say remember how they lived, not how they died.
Totally, right? Because they're in the memories place. Of how they lived. They want you to live the joy and the happiness that created, not the last day of their life. And that's really what funerals and memorial services are, celebrations of life, really.
Yes. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. This is Radio Caravan. We're in the studio today with spiritual advisor, medium James Von Prague. I know we have a caller who wants to talk with you after the break, if you'll be up for that as well.
Sure, I just need some more coffee. I'll be fine.
All right, thank you. And we'll be back in 60 seconds. April, if you'd take us out for us, please.
Forever. So so the story goes. But somehow we missed out on the pot of gold. But we'll try.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan. We're in the studio this morning with spiritual advisor, medium, James von Prague, who has a new book out, Adventures of the Soul, Journeys Through the Physical and Spiritual Dimensions. We were talking about Robert Palmer's passing here a week ago, and we have a caller. I think her name is...
Can I introduce... I'm sorry. Robert's interrupting me, so I got to go.
Good. You know what? He would do that, too.
Is
it mic on?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Robert's screwing around. He wants a party. He doesn't want it serious. He does not. He said, would you make him a light up? He wants everyone to be laughing and having a good time. He doesn't want a heaviness for him. I don't know if that was his personality, but I got to tell you, he's really... Yeah. And I just said before he got on the call... I said, okay, you want to do me the call? Okay, can I have a shot of tequila? And I don't drink tequila. And you guys said he used to have a bottle of tequila here.
Amazing.
Yeah, on several occasions he brought in tequila and we all took shots. And
I love this, man. That's good. Yeah.
We took several shots on one morning, I recall. At least he and I did.
Wow. That's great.
The caller, are you there, Sandra?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Sandra. Well, first of all, thank you for calling in. And James von Prague is here in the studio with us. And I know you have a story or you have a question for him. Would you like to share with us?
Yes.
Please.
Hi, Sandra. How you doing, sweetheart?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take a breath, sweetheart. Just take a breath.
Okay.
You're okay.
All right.
All right.
I recently lost my child.
Okay, honey.
And I'm not quite sure how to move on. I've been trying.
Okay. Okay. Take a breath with me. Are you ready? Just take a deep breath. Ready? Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Ready? Ready? We're going to inhale. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, and exhale.
Do you have a question for him, Sandra?
Yes. Yes, I do. I was wondering who my child was created, what family members have created him.
Okay. First of all, can I try to communicate with him? Just because we have the thought, they'll usually be around. Is this a son that passed over? Is it a son?
Yes.
And what is his name?
Kyle.
Okay, Kyle. First of all, I want to talk about you having a hat of his. Is this some kind of a cap or a hat? You understand that?
A cap?
Like a hat or a cap, a baseball cap or some kind of a cap. I know what that means. How old was he when he passed? Was he a young guy?
He was 23.
Okay. So do you know, I keep on getting a cap. So I see a baseball cap or some kind of a cap that he had. Okay.
He played baseball. He did.
Okay. So he's talking to me about that. I also got to tell you, I don't feel his passing was a long. I think it was a quick passing. I feel it's unexpected when he passes. And you understand that? And a bit of a shock and unexpected. I feel he's away from the house when he dies, too. Does that make sense
to
you?
True.
I wanted to ask if there's a grandfather of his that had passed over.
Great grandfather.
Because there's a man there, like a grandfather man, that comes to get him. And who has ties to the Midwest of the United States?
We have a lot of family.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you that.
You feel a man?
I feel well. What? One of many people come to get him. It's not just one person. There's a whole family that comes to greet him. No one ever dies alone, and they usually come in a whole family unit, just like it's a part for them. It's a party when they come over. It's not, you know. It's so interesting because when we're born, we cry and everyone else is happy, and when we die, they cry. They're happy and we cry. And it's really, really true, and he's very happy to be here. I don't know why, but my head is involved in this in some way. And
Sandra, let me ask you, did you have a specific question for James?
My specific questions were just that I wanted to make sure that he was okay. I know, and I'm trying to understand that I know that is. It's our grief, and that they don't want us to be unhappy.
Right.
But I just feel like I'm trying to communicate with him. Okay. I feel that I did smell roses a few days ago when he would always sit next to me on the couch, and I could
next to the
smell
television.
The roses.
Next to the television, in front of the television.
Yes.
And it was him with the roses. They come through with smells. So he'll come through with roses. Now you can identify that is him. He'll do that more often. And he saw you kissing his photograph. And I know you just recently got some new photographs out, or old photographs put in frames. And
I do.
Okay. And he's very aware of that. I know there's a Michael somewhere. So there's a Michael involved somewhere. So I don't know if there's a friend of his named Michael, but that name Michael's significant. Okay.
Yes, that's it. His father passed. His name was Jeffrey Michael.
Okay. Well, that's father came to get him.
Yeah. Sandra, you thank you for calling in, and we're sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much.
And honey, it wasn't your fault, so don't let that hold on to that. Please don't. It was not your fault. You have to let that go, okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Lots of love to you, and feel his love.
James. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Thank you. James, what does the other world look like, smell like, feel like?
Well, you know, again, putting our human laws, our human versions of it. So it's more than that. The spirit people say it's everything of this world and some. So not only do you see color, you feel the value of color. When you see people, you just don't see them as a body. You see them as their energy. You see them as a totality of what all their life, the thoughts that they had in their lifetime, who they are as a character. And you'll see it by the colors that are around them. You see and feel energy. And you feel things. When there's an orchestra there, they have the best things over there, like we have here, theaters and libraries, universities, lakes, everything human, and then some. And they say when you go, for instance, to a concert, you don't only see them play, you know, hear them play, you see the musical notes come out based upon colors.
And go ahead, Jill, please.
Thank you. Excuse me. So we also get some of this information, and in your book, you cover near-death experiencers, the NDEers.
Yeah.
And we know, like, Raymond Moody and I Love Life After Life, and Anita Morjani is a more recent one, Dying to Be Me.
Yep.
And can you kind of go back, and you yourself have had one.
In the book, I talk about it, yeah.
Can you go a little more of what that process, and that's how the information we've received comes back, yes?
Sure. What I'm very aware, when I had my past, like, well, my near-death experience, what happened with me, I had food poisoning, as I talk about this in the book, and really what happened was 12 hours of being sick, and finally I didn't want to go to the hospital, and finally I went into the bathroom, my head hit the sink, and I collapsed. I popped out of my body, and I looked down, and I was very, very aware that above me was this tapestry, this universal tapestry, and I was very aware that, for me, everyone had kind of a ribbon, and that ribbon went into this other tapestry that everybody had, that they had a ribbon connected to this tapestry. And I knew that the thoughts that they had, whether it's love or joy or happiness, the colors in that ribbon would be very, very light and pastel and bleed into that other tapestry, influencing that universal tapestry. And I realized that people who had negative thoughts, limitation, and fear, that those lights or those colors were very dark and dense and in turn bled into that universal tapestry. I know at the end of my life or our lives, we look back at the tapestry and we see all the good things we put into that tapestry and the bad things we put in that tapestry. And right. We have to forgive ourselves. We have our own life review.
So like a life review, right?
Like a life exactly. review. And I came back there. I remember I popped back into my body after I saw my dead father. He handed me a flower in a garden and he said, it's not your time to go. You got to go back. Next thing I knew, I was open my eyes and I said to my husband, Brian, I said, wow, this is really weird. I said, it's easy to die. It's hard to live.
We have another caller. Actually, we may have one or two callers. I'm not sure. But Robert's sister, Rebecca, and her husband, Dave, are on the phone. Rebecca and Dave, are you there?
Yes, we are. We're here.
And you've been listening to the show. Talk to us.
We want to give everybody there big hugs and give a shout out to our brother, Robert. Love you, man. We are asking ourselves very strongly what would Robert do because he was such a strong force. Dave, I think, has a question.
Yeah, first of all, we listen to the show from Orlando, Florida. Robert would love this show. It's really interesting. I have a question for your guest, Scott. And that
Please.
Is, what's the best way for us to, yeah, this is fascinating, to carry thoughts to our loved ones on the other side. Do we have to use a medium, or can they feel it when we think about them?
No, no, not at all. They hear your thoughts all the time. You do not need a medium. What you can do is you can be by yourself in the water, just lying there in the water, or whether in a park sitting there, whether you're in front of a television set, and you close your eyes, and you send a thought. Thoughts are things. Thought is energy. So he's around you when he hears your thoughts, he sees your thoughts. And it's very much like a telephone. Like we call somebody and receive the message, their voice in the telephone, like we're hearing from you. Same thing with him. He'll hear your thoughts 10 times, 20 times stronger than they would on the human life. And your brother-in-law, this guy, I got to tell you, and I communicate with spirits all the time, he's fun. He's a fun guy. He's a fun-loving guy. He's like, stop being so serious. I mean, I got to tell you, this is what he's like. This is what I'm picking up. And he says, stop making it like this morose thing, because he wouldn't want that. That's like, in a way, kind of disrespectful to him and his spirit. And I'm just telling exactly what I'm getting.
No, yeah, great.
And he's a cool dude. Can I say he's a cool dude? Is that
you
the way?
You can say that,
Can I
yes.
say those words? He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
And you guys calling, and Rebecca, he loves you, and you take yourself too seriously. Lighten up, he says. Lighten up. And, lighten up.
Sounds like him.
Lighten up. And, Rebecca, do you wear bare feet around your house or your place you live? Do you wear bare feet
yes.
outside? So he's talking about being careful about wearing the bare feet outside. I don't know if you almost stepped on something. You almost stepped on something, or he's just making me aware of watch those feet while you're walking.
That's kind of unusual because my husband and I just went to dinner downtown, and I took off my shoes and walked downtown Orlando.
Wow. Oh, gosh. Isn't it weird? Yes, they're always around us, and they'll talk about things you were doing, because they'll talk about what they watched you doing, and that's pretty good, because that's unusual for you, so he pointed that out.
Rebecca, Dave, did you have any other questions for James?
Point of clarification.
Please.
You were scheduled for this show.
Rebecca, it's really weird. We're sitting here, scratching our heads, and I said to these guys, it's kind of the spirit world really knows, and they maneuver things to work out. So I was scheduled for the show, I guess, a month or 2 months before. And then I came in here and just found out he just passed, and I didn't know who Robert was. And so it's like really weird, and he just passed, so here I am. It's kind of like, wow.
I'll tell you, I was outside when James showed up, and I said, can I speak to you outside just briefly? And I just wanted to say, he looked at me and he said, did somebody die or did somebody pass right away? And I started to tell him, and he says, he put up his hands and he said, I don't want to hear.
I don't
want to know anything about it.
Don't influence it.
And I didn't say a word beyond that.
Yeah, you can't feed the medium, because then that'll influence. And I don't want to know anything. And if we have callers, just for time-wise, the person they want to contact. But otherwise, I just want to know anything, because I let the spirit come in and speak.
Yeah. Rebecca.
Well, thank you for being there. Love you, man.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
you.
The phone call. I had a quick question here. How can we develop the spiritual side of our personality?
I might answer it for you, too.
How can we develop the spiritual sides of our personality?
Number one, have a relationship with ourselves and really becoming, if you will, mindful. Aware, and whether that road is through, some people go through religion, if you will, some people go through meditation, some people have a practice of mindfulness. However, whatever way that road will lead to your heart, to your soul, which is pure love, I think God is love. I think God is pure love. Love is God. I don't get caught up in the human concepts of what God is. I just think God is love, and whatever that means, and I think it's beyond human comprehension, but the closest thing we have to God is pure love. And we are made, if we want to say God's image or that loving light. So I think every single person has an aspect of God, which is love. So we really sort of have to have that relationship with ourselves first and realize how good we are, that loving energy we are. Start to see that first within ourselves, whether, again, through mindfulness, through walking, you know, through exercise, through prayer, through however you want to do meditation. And then once you have that relationship and you honor that and respect that, yeah, and don't put it, you know, life is a series of choices. That's all it is. Life is a really, it's simple. We make it complex. We get caught up with the complexity of the simplicity. I think life is a series of choices. If you look back in your life, you'll see the choices you made, right? And all choices are based upon two things, either love or fear, yeah. And that's it.
You know, in your book, Adventures of the Soul, I love Marianne Williamson, and
yeah, love
you
Marianne.
Stated that she had a statement where she said, love is what we are born into, and fear is what we learned here.
Ah, that's that so, is so true, powerful. Isn't it?
Yes.
So true.
You remember that love, like in Anita Morjani, Dying to Be Me, the yes. love that brought her back and healed her.
It's exactly right. Well. And that love, and the love is what I do this work for, because the love energy of the people I feel, that's why I do that. So to get this, back to your question about spirituality, number one, have that sense of love of yourself. And then the next step is you begin to see that love or that God light in every other person. Whether it's a soul-to-soul connection, a heart connection, and you realize you can stop for a moment and realize, take a pause, and instead of just rush, go, 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 happiness outside, we have to go within to see the happiness. And then instead of judgment is fear-based. So instead of we tend to judge people because of our society, what we watch on television, their surroundings, stop for a moment and try to find that God, that light within every person. And I always say change the energy around the space.
Are you constantly walking around hearing, seeing, feeling these sort of souls yes. that are out there?
Are you implying that I'm schizophrenic?
No. Okay. I'm wondering
just
if...
Just want to straighten that one out.
How do you shut it off yeah. if you wanted to?
So it's a good joke, right? It shouldn't come. I'm a stand-up comedian. You got to have laughs and joy if you do this work all the time, I'll tell you. Now, you know, when I learned to develop in the proper way of medium, the proper way to do it is really learning how to open yourself up energetically with the chakra system, if you will, and taking away the focus. And when you're finished, closing it off, it's like a radio. You turn on the radio when you're ready to work, and you turn it off when you're closed, when you're finished. Very and nice. That's the proper way. Unfortunately, and I love Teresa Caputo from Long Island Media. Mm-hmm. She's a friend of mine now. We've met each other. She's great. Unfortunately, the show's produced horribly in that. Mm-hmm. They portray her being able to go into a bakery and getting her nails done, and she talks to dead people that just show up, pop up. It's not necessarily like that. Mm-hmm. You really have to work at tuning in and really inviting that spirit in and being there. It's not something that happens all the time. It's portrayed there. She just walks down the street and she sees dead people all the time. It's really not like that per se.
Are there evil souls out there? Are there evil souls you come across?
The living.
Ah,
wow.
Living.
I mean, but not the passing. Not those
no,
who have passed.
No, that's more religious background. Now, I believe that everybody is love and liberty is God. I believe that. The only evil I've had is really seriously the living people in Hollywood. Yeah. I've worked in Hollywood
right.
a long time.
Yeah,
and,
good point.
And it's really the humans that create those concepts within the mind. So it's really the conditions of the mind. And that's really what it's about. That's so. If what evil is just what they create in the human.
All right, you're listening to KX93.5 Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan. We're in the studio this morning with spiritual advisor medium James von Prague. April, we're going to take a short musical break. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue this conversation.
Over the rainbow, blue. flight and the dreams that you dream of, dreams really do come true.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. And in the studio this morning, just an overwhelmingly fascinating, almost scary in some way.
I'm not scary.
I know, but not scary in a negative way. But just we're here with spiritual advisor, medium James Von Prague. And by the way, if you want to call in, if you have a question for James, you can call 949-715-5936, 949-715-5936. I believe we have a caller, another caller on the phone. Okay. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, hi, what's your name? First name?
My name's Kathy.
Kathy, and we have James Von Prague here in the studio with us this morning. Do you have a quick question for him?
Hi, Kathy, how are you?
Hi,
how you doing? You doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, what would you like to know, honey?
I am struggling with grief still over my son's suicide.
Okay, and what is his name?
Jason.
Jason, okay. Let me just tell you something, Kathy. Was there another marriage with you beforehand? Were there two marriages somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know that must have been, I don't know if there was a divorce. Jason was born. There was a divorce after that or something. Does that make sense
to
you?
That's what happened.
Right. So I know that he comes close to me, and I know there's another girl. There's a sister involved somewhere. I don't know if this marriage or another one, but the sister is talking about. And I know that in some level, now I want you to understand what I'm getting here, that he felt in some ways guilty for that separation. So if we go back to when you're married, he doesn't blame you, but he kind of internalized it himself. Okay, he feels like he was a bit of a loner toward the end, and I'm going to tell you that he tells me there must have been an attempt once before. Does that make sense?
I don't know that.
Okay, so would you know if he moved away somewhere beforehand? Was he separated from you in some way beforehand?
Yeah, he went back to the hometown that his dad lived in.
Right, so he's just telling me that, just a validation. So I know around 20, early 20s, he must have passed around the 20s time, correct?
Oh, his age?
Yeah.
He was
in his 20s?
32.
Oh, 32. I know at 28, something significantly happened in his life that made him go on a downward spiral in some ways. So I don't know if it was an emotional breakup or something happened right beforehand. This makes sense to you?
Well, you know, he had issues that he didn't get treated, and
okay.
I tried.
Well,
to
I know that. I know that. I know there's some bipolar work going on here. I know there's some imbalances going on here. I realize that. Okay. I realized that there was an emotional problem. He either broke up with somebody or there wasn't something that happened he's going on about. Can I just tell you that, number one, the spirit is pure. When we pass over, we go back to our pure self. So those conditions, the mental conditions that when we're walking on the earth, that's really of the human. It's not of the soul. So I want you to realize that. Number one, don't blame yourself, please. Don't blame yourself. Okay? And I want you to talk to his father.
His father?
Mm-hmm. Where is his dad now living?
Tri-Cities.
Right.
Washington.
And you haven't spoken to him in a little bit?
I saw him at the time
of the funeral.
Going through the, yeah.
Right. But, so for his father, he wants you to talk to his dad, and that would really help him healing him. Okay?
Okay, Kathy, thank you for calling in, and we're sorry for your loss, too.
Yes.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Okay, honey.
Bye-bye. James, let me ask you, you know, even the best baseball players only hit about 30% of the time, right?
Well, that depends on their training.
Okay. you know, what percent of you is accurate?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, do you get a sense of it over the years that you're hitting about 80%, 90%,
Well, it's 50%? Really, really interesting. I find that it's the receiver who has the problem. I'm always the living of the worst. The dead are great. I'm okay. I'm pretty good. Sometimes I have an off day. Sometimes a good day.
Yeah.
But I find that people that I'm working with are either in shock.
Right.
They don't expect this, very new to them, and they forget their name, where they were born, their kid's name, their address, and they forget all that stuff. It's like, oh, what am I saying? That's my name. You know,
yeah.
It's weird because they're not expecting to hear things through a medium, but they're not used to this type of communication.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I say to people that are receiving. Please don't say anything to me. Just say yes or no, in that I know that they're coming in this way. This makes sense to you. Don't feed the medium because it's going to throw me off and throw the spirit off.
Right.
I'm working for the spirit world, not in a way, not really the living. I'm really working for the helping heal them. Because you have to remember, the spirit passes over. Let's say it's a father who never told his daughter he loved her in life. And for some reason, that daughter then could not love anybody else, could not trust anybody else, whatever it might be, could not have relationships. When the father passes over, he has a life review. And he sees, oh my gosh, I should have told my daughter I loved her. If only I had told my daughter I loved her, she would have been able to have all the experiences. Oh my gosh, if only I had the chance now to come back and tell her that.
Mm-hmm.
So that spirit might go to several mediums. He might go for months or years trying to find out a way to get in to let that message be through. So that's where I'm working for him. And that's happened where a man has come through and changed the life of the living. So I open myself up to the spirit world. Many times the spirit wants to talk to someone in particular and I won't be able to get them through for whatever reason, but I'm able to bring somebody else through.
Please.
Yes. So in your book as well, you talk about remote viewing, which is a whole different topic.
Remote viewing,
another
astral
hour,
projection,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And you talked in there that some of them in the past have been trained with our government to do certain things.
You
but
bet.
Also, what I was really intrigued with was they're trained to guide trapped spirits to the light. So my question to you is, how do spirits get trapped? What happens? Shock you were talking about?
Yeah, I did a show. I created a show called Ghost Whisperer years ago with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And that was based upon the spirits who kind of get stuck because they get stuck. I'm going to say to you, it's very Hollywood in that they don't really get stuck per se, but there is a mind condition. So we will continue to keep that mind condition we have. So, for instance, let's say someone's raised very religiously, and they pass out of the body, and they look back at their life and think, oh gosh, I didn't live the right way. They think in their mind, oh, if I go into that light, I'm going to go to hell. So I'm not going to go over that light. Why would I go over there when I'm going to go to hell? I'll stay close to the earth. Or a woman who just gave birth to her daughter, and she died in childbirth in the daughter's life, she's not going to go into the light. She thinks in her own mind she'll be closer to her daughter in the physical, so she'll stay on this level of vibration. So that's the kind of thing. But there are many of those in the spirit world whose job it is to bring those people over. And that's, you know, and it depends here. You know, it's a mindset. So that's the physical earth. Listen, we have this horrible crisis right now, this ISIS thing.
Right.
That's a mindset. It's a religion. It's extremist. You have to change that mindset. How hard is it to change people's mindset on this earth? Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
So imagine the spirit world, same type of thing sometimes, changing that mindset.
Okay, thank you.
James, I read on your website that you have also communicated with many famous deceased personalities, including
infamous as well.
Infamous. Princess Diana, yeah. Frank Sinatra, Roy Orbison, Johnny Carson. Is he still as funny in the afterworld as he is?
Actually, it's kind of boring.
Is he?
Yeah. Kind of
Michael Jackson.
I didn't communicate with Michael Jackson. Someone said that, and I did not communicate with Michael Jackson.
Have you heard from Robin Williams or Joan Rivers?
No, but Joan Rivers is a good friend of mine. And then Joan Rivers gave my first break in television back in our talk show. And Joan has always remained a great person. And I've seen a radio show. She had a radio show. I did a lot. And she's always a great person. She said to me, you know, one thing I'm going to tell you. I said, what's that, Joan? She goes, you know, I've had so much face work. When I get to heaven, God won't even recognize me. and that's so Joan. It's like, oh, it's true. And Edgar, her husband, I brought through Edgar for her years ago. And she said, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to kill him. So she was great. So,
So do they come to you because they want to communicate a message to somebody who's living?
You know, it's really they just don't show up and pop up like a jack-in-the-box. But it's usually if I have a connection to a family member, they'll come through. The only other person that did come through, a couple people came through spontaneously like that. Because they know I'm a medium. They know the light that I have. And it's like a door they can come through. I once walked down at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, the twilight state, to get some food out of the kitchen. Who knows? That's in the twilight state. And it was right after John F. Kennedy Jr. passed away. Mm. And I was very, very aware. It's almost like my mind was taken to a certain space when he was received in the spirit world. And I saw a bunch of people there, all his family members, the President Kennedy and Jacqueline and him and the girl, the sisters, his wife and his sister. And it was really interesting because I was caught up in that whole mindset. And it wasn't me making it up because I know the difference between that and my imagination and what's going on. And I was very aware, I was taking to that situation when he first passes, that Jackie came out of that pack and came and grabbed him. And I was very aware of that, John F. Kennedy Jr. And I was aware one of the girls was really angry that she had passed, got that. Another time, which was really weird, I was walking in my garden, and that's where I meditate in my garden, and Lucille Ball came to me. Now, this is really interesting. And I'd never met Lucille Ball, but in a way, I gave a reading to a friend of hers without even knowing it. I said, and it was really weird. A ring of a redhead, and she's funny. And that's right. That was a ring that she had. Anyway, she came to me and she said, oh, people are making so much of me. You know, my laughs are coming. I came back to the world to make people laugh and have light. She goes, I'm not the personality they make me to be. I'm just myself. Mm. And many of those celebrities that we make celebrities down here said that. Frank Sinatra's come through about 4 or 5 times because I've done readings for a lot of his cronies. Mm-hmm. And one was, I think it was Connie Stevens or someone. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that, you know, they knew each other. And there was some words or nicknames or pet names that they had. And he came through with those pet names. It's Frank Sinatra. And Shirley MacLaine is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And she's who's going to be here next week. And she's, I did a reading for her for her birthday in April. And he came through with some great information for her. And that was fun. That was interesting.
Let me.
I don't think I'd like him in the real life, though. If he walked home, he's not my cup of tea, Frank Sinatra. I'm sorry. I don't.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's all right. It's just a personality.
Do you have faith?
Do I have faith? Always. I live by faith. Mm-hmm. I live by love. I have faith and love. It depends on what you mean. Faith.
I mean, what's the difference? How would you define the difference between religion and spirituality?
Two different things.
Yeah.
So spirituality is who we are, and religion is man-made. So religion really creates, like I said earlier, and man makes certain religions, belief systems to get into that space of love, of God. So there are many, many roads to light. Yeah, religion is one way. Not any one religion is better than any other religion. Right. I don't believe that. I think that's crazy. Right. My God is better than your God. I mean, it's just insane. I think we have to celebrate the difference and diversity of religions, the diversity of belief systems, because God is all that. And we should see the diversity in people and still honor that instead of the separativeness of it, really. Mm-hmm.
Is there a heaven and is there a hell?
Not in the religious sense, no. In the Bible, I will go back to the Bible, and it says the Bible, my father has a house.
Well, not in the religious sense or the spiritual sense?
Not in the religious sense. There'd be fire and brimstone and demons.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Devil and all that crap. But it is the sense of, like, I will refer to the Bible. And the Bible says, because I think the Bible's a great source. It's how it's interpreted. But one saying is the Bible has a house. My Bible is a house of many mansions or many levels. I think that's the various levels of spiritual levels that exist. And I think we go to that level after we pass, depending on our thoughts, words, and deeds. So I do believe in the golden rule. I do believe, because we're all that oneness of each other, that you see the God in that person. You treat them with love. Because when you pass over and you have your life review, you'll see the good things you did, the bad things you did, and things you didn't do. Yeah. And that's, you got to forgive yourself. And that's hard.
That's hard.
Imagine on this earth when we do something wrong to somebody and it's like we feel bad. Imagine when you're in the spirit world where there's no time. Right. You're outside of time and you live in a mental vibration where your thoughts go over and over and over again. And that's why today we're celebrating Robert's life because I got to say it's a celebration because I felt pretty good with him.
Yeah.
I feel happy. I feel fun. I feel he's done everything he could. I don't think it's a bad bone in this guy's body. I think he feels very... You know, I should have thought it before I spoke. You know, I should have jumped in to say that about that person, that situation before I thought about it. But I think he's a good heart, and it's a pleasure, and it's good to see that his life for you is not a bad one, which is great.
That's beautiful. Do you ever see, speak to, or feel a God-like presence?
Every day. And, as I'm looking at you, I see God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at God. As I look at you, as I look at everybody in this room, I see God. But do you see God for yourself? Do you mm-hmm. see your own God? You mm-hmm. see? Now, it could be you look at your own preconceived ideas of what God is, or whether it's a Jesus figure or something. That's man-made. God is pure love. So mm-hmm. do you see that God within yourself? When you start seeing God within yourself, then you're truly living life, and then you truly can live life.
I love
so
that.
When you see yeah. God, though, or you hear God, or you feel God, is that a presence? Is that a vision? Is that do you, you? Can you kind of describe it, or is it just a sense for you? For you?
For me, it's love. Mm-hmm. It's complete, perfect love. It's surrendering to love. It's seeing the potential in each person. It's seeing that light. It's that creative spark within each person. And it's the hardest part of my job is not talking to dead people. That I do pretty well. I can do that. The hardest part of my job is when I look at somebody and I see all of their abilities, all their gifts, all the energy around them, and they don't see it for themselves.
That's beautiful.
That's really hard. So,
how can we live a more soul-filled life?
Well, number one, find the joy in the journey. J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, journey, joy. Find the joy in your journey and really live your passion. Live your passion and don't care what other people think of you, because what other people think of you is none of your business, because mm-hmm. no one knows you better than know yourself.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Right. So if we surrender to that and just realize that, you know, we are perfect in our makeup, but it's that human ideas of not being perfect. We never should live what other people think of us. You know, do other people's lives. We should live our own lives, live our own passion. Then you'll be, if you're living your passion and your joy, however that takes it, the universe will say yes, always. I often say, you know, you got to live from that space, and you can't live from an ego point of view, and you can't live, you got to live in love, not fear. All your choices are made of love, not fear, because fear is false ego appearing real. So if you're living from the ego, you're not living in truth, you're not living in love. Mm-hmm. And our natural state of vibration of who we are as souls are loving beings. So the further you get away from that, the more unhappy your life will be.
James, I think we're all very thankful that you were here today and
thank
to share
you for having
this
me.
Moment.
Can I just say quick, you'll be at in Pasadena at the I Can Do It conference.
I Can Do It conference. I have a radio show too every Tuesday on Hay House yeah. Radio, and I have a Facebook page, James Van Prague, and I go on there every day myself.
And you'll be with Deepak Chopra in December.
Deepak Chopra yes. in December, yes. Awesome. So my website, vanprague.com, has all the events and information. Thank you for mentioning that.
So I got to believe you were here for a purpose today.
You
I think that was very
Do
clear.
You think?
And I'm wondering if Robert, if we were to give Robert the last opportunity to share some final words before we leave the yeah. station this that, morning.
Well, it's an honor, number one, to be here and to bring him through. So thank you. I mean, thank you for having this scenario. I didn't know what I was walking into. It's always, that's why I like to live life. I just get him a real strong sense. And I don't know this man, so I'm sorry. But he just wants you to find time to laugh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Said find time Beautiful. To laugh. Does that make sense?
Beautiful.
Okay.
You've been listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. In honor of Robert Palmer's memory here, we're going to leave with one of his songs that he loved, written by Sean Jones.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you,
called
love
my,
you.
My Best Friend, which Sean Jones wrote about his father.
Nothing compares to the way that I feel when I think of all the times that we shared. I followed in your footsteps and tried to make you proud. Took for granted that you'd always be there. And now I miss you more than ever, and I wish we be together for just a little longer. You could teach me to be stronger than I am, 'cause you were my best friend. You left me your guitar, and every time I play it, I can hear the haunting sound of your sweet voice. Singing through the night by the campfire light, all the songs you taught me when I was a boy. Now I miss you more than ever, and I wish we'd be together for just a little longer. You could teach me to be stronger than I am, 'cause you were my best friend. Tell me what it's like on the other side, knowing you won't have to fight. It's worth every tear I've cried, 'cause you're not gonna suffer anymore. You slipped away and through the open door, and now I know what living here is for. But I miss you more than ever, and I wish we could be together for just a little longer. You could teach me to be stronger than I am, 'cause you were my best friend. You were my best friend.